The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is facing criticism over how it handles claims of sexual misconduct against its faculty. An investigation by NPR Illinois and ProPublica finds the problem runs deeper. For ProPublica's local reporting network, Rachel Otwell explains.
In 2017, campus investigators found law professor Jay Kaysen made female colleagues and students uncomfortable with references to sex as well as inappropriate invitations and unwanted touching. Claims reached the public at a Me Too and Academia forum last year when an audience member asked panelists about the investigation and what was being done to protect students. After the forum, calls were made for Kaysen's resignation, and the university promised to reassess its sexual harassment policies.
We want to be the best of the breed, in a way, on all of these issues, recognizing that it's a very important topic. Nothing's broken.
That's U of I System President Timothy Killeen speaking after a meeting this spring. An investigation by NPR Illinois and ProPublica found the U of I at Urbana-Champaign helped several professors keep seemingly unblemished records, even though they were found to have violated its policies after facing allegations of sexual misconduct. The university let them resign, paid them for periods they weren't working, promised not to discuss the reasons for their departures, and, in some cases, has kept them on faculty. Our investigation found three previously unreported cases, including that of anthropology professor Mahir Saul.
In the meantime, if we have Saul scheduled to teach students in the fall, that opens us up to serious legal liability, since I and surely others perceive he has a track record of perpetration. I would like to
That's Catherine Clancy, also an anthropology professor, reading from an email about Saul she sent to the head of her department and other colleagues in spring of 2018.
Rather than abdicate responsibility of our students' safety to the legal system, I think we can choose to set particular standards for appropriate conduct within our department regarding student interactions.
Clancy is also a national expert on gender-based discrimination in higher ed.
The entire way that we engage with questions of perpetration on campuses is wrong and broken. And so we are just doing what everyone else is doing, and it's the wrong way to be doing things.
In 2018, a research assistant claimed Saul pressured her to sleep at his apartment. University investigators found he violated the university's code of conduct. He had faced a separate but similar investigation into claims a couple years prior, which determined his behavior did not legally qualify as sexual harassment. However, it called his judgment into question and recommended training. Last year, following the other claim, an investigator recommended that Saul not have one-on-one contact with female students and junior faculty. The anthropology department head went further and took Saul out of the classroom entirely. A university spokesperson says Saul's been told not to interact with students going forward. He is still getting paid. Saul says the claims that led to both investigations are inaccurate and that the 2018 claims are the result of a disgruntled employee. Like Clancy, Leslie Wexler also has concerns about how sexual harassment allegations have been handled.
I am a professor of law as well as associate dean for academic affairs at the University of Illinois College of Law.
Wexler told the audience at the Me Too forum last year that she was not satisfied with the result of the investigation into Jay Kaysen.
Title IX, in theory, might capture a lot of this behavior.
Title IX is the civil rights law that bans gender discrimination within federally funded educational programs.
But it's been interpreted over time in a very narrow way. So even touching breasts or buttocks, if it only happens once, some courts have said that didn't meet the threshold.
Wexler says that sets a very high bar. It's a bar investigators determined neither Kaysen nor Saul reached, though both were found to have violated other policies. In a letter sent to colleagues last year, Kaysen admitted the allegations were true and apologized. He went on voluntary unpaid leave.
Hello?
Is this the Jay Kaysen who works at the U of I?
Yes.
I called him up to ask if he's planning to return to teach.
I'm expected to return in January 2020, yes.
since what's happened last year, are there any ways it might change anything else you do?
Well, I will make absolutely sure that there is no interaction between students and colleagues that would even remotely make anyone uncomfortable. I will do my best.
A university spokesperson confirms Kaysen is slated to return next year. Wexler and others say for now, the requirements for misconduct to qualify as sexual harassment can defy common sense. But in the other two cases our investigation uncovered, the university did find the professors violated the sexual misconduct policy. One faced allegations from three separate women, including that he had showed up at each of their homes uninvited. Another was found to have stalked a colleague. Both denied the allegations, but took the option to leave voluntarily. In both cases, the university continued to pay them for several months before their departures. And with confidentiality clauses in their separation agreements, they were promised their reasons for leaving would not be disclosed unless required by law. Nicole Gorofsky is an attorney who practices in Illinois and specializes in representing victims of sexual violence. She says it's common for institutions to use the confidentiality agreements.
They don't want to do anything that shows that they're admitting liability. They're also afraid that the perpetrator is going to sue them for defamation or interference with contract at their next employer.
One professor who left the U of I went on to teach at another school, and the other got a prestigious grant to do research in India. Gorofsky says in cases like these, confidentiality clauses should be banned, as that could help keep those found responsible of misconduct from reoffending elsewhere.
There's law and there's morality. They should match, but they don't always.
At the U of I at Urbana-Champaign, officials tell us they're phasing out the use of confidentiality agreements. Chancellor Robert Jones says he hopes others follow suit.
We hire a lot of people, too, that we like to know a full story about their history and if there's anything that would cause us great concern.
But university leadership defends the move not to fire faculty. Provost Andreas Congoleri says terminations are rare because tenured professors have certain employment protections.
It is a process that is dictated by the bedrock of every university, and that is academic freedom.
Academic freedom means ensuring professors can pursue their research and speak their minds in the classroom without fear of retaliation, including termination. Still, a university committee is looking into how sexual misconduct allegations against faculty are handled. A report is expected this fall. I'm Rachel Otwell.
The investigation is a collaboration between NPR Illinois and ProPublica's Local Reporting Network. Alex Majerjeski is the co-author. You can find more at nprillinois.org, where you'll also see ways to share information as the investigation into sexual misconduct on college campuses continues.